This week we're talking about things that had full value. The question was, do you go by retail value, do you go by wholesale value? And we discovered, this seemed like a decent proof that we go by retail value. And then we went further and we saw that not only you go by retail value, you go by the retail value in the place that you're at. So if you have some electronic device in Eretz Yisrael where it's worth twice as much as it's worth in America, you have to pay that value of what it was worth in Eretz Yisrael. And then we went to that one last that Rosh Bitt said, that if you break someone's Coke in the hotel, which he spent $4.99 for, you have to pay him $4.99. The Coke is worth $4.99 in that location. If you want to avoid paying $4.99 for 6 ounces of soda, you can buy a 2-liter soda and fill up his cup over there and you've returned the damage. So this week I want to continue with cases of weighing the damage, and that's going to be cases where the thing is not doesn't seem to be worth too much at first glance, and we want to know, is there some value in it? So the case that Rosh Bitz talks about is a case where someone had just come home from the optometrist with a new pair of glasses, and he was showing it to his friend. Look at my new glasses. His friend looked at them. Oh, great glasses. And he dropped them accidentally and they broke. Okay? What are the lenses worth? What are lenses of glasses worth? Right, he just spent $150 for them. He's showing off how thin they are, even though it's a minus 15 lens because it's super thin, right? And it costs $150. But last week we said that, but how do you estimate what something's worth? You estimate it by the retail value. And how much could you sell your eyeglasses for? Let's talk about another case also. First, you have a 1980 Chevy Caprice, which is clunking along. Right? Clunking along. It takes you where you need to go. It has zero book value, I'm assuming. Right? But it takes where you need to go. Okay? And someone comes and totals it. There's no insurance. You don't have collision. So what's it worth? Let's talk about a case where you have a picture of your parents' chasana, right?
Irreplaceable.
But what's it worth? How much were you, or your diploma, your smicha? Okay, you have your smicha handwritten by Rosh Hashiva, right? How much could you sell your smicha for? So far, three cases we're talking about. We're talking about eyeglasses, which are brand new eyeglasses, but I can't sell them for anything. Do we go by, like it seems like most of us are saying, that do we pay the what it costs me, I get that, or do we say, well, right now it's not worth anything? The second case is something that's used. Well, it's not as extreme as a car, but my suit. I spent $150 on it a year ago, but how much would it be worth now? It'd be worth $10 in a thrift shop. And then the third case is something that it really has no, it's just sentimental value. A smicha, pictures, chedushei Torah. So let's see Gemara in Ksuvos. Right, the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah says, Misha halach b'mdina zayon. Someone went away, far away. And now this guy owned some property. He had a field, say a farmland. And it was surrounded by other farmlands. And the way he used to get to his land was that he had a certain right to walk through someone else's land to get to his. So he went to far away for 10 years. But of the derech sadeo, and in the meantime, the fields next door to him changed hands, and now he doesn't have his path anymore. Adman says yelech lo b'ksaron. He forgot which one things changed. They grew over it. They don't look like they used to be. He has no way of knowing where his path used to be. So Adman says he knew he used to have rights to a path, so he can take the shortest path in. The Chachamim say, Yigna la derech b'meya mana. He has to buy a path even if it costs him 100 mana. A mana is 100 zuz, meaning 100 times 100. 10,000 zuz. And if he doesn't want to pay, let him fly in the air. So the first indication of helicopters we have in Mishnayos. Let him fly in the air to get to his land. Meaning, it's a little sarcastic. you're stuck. If you want to get your path back to your land, you're going to have to pay for it, or try flapping your wings, and you'll get into your land like that. Now, what's the case? So the Gemara has a few different scenarios. The conclusion of the Gemara is, we're talking about, there used to be one person in the middle, and there were four different owners on the side surrounding him. And he had rights to one of the paths to get into his yard. He forgets which one it was right now. Things have changed. And these four people all sold it to one person. The four people sold it to one person. So this one person now owns all four. And I come home and I say, look, you bought all four lands, so my path is at least in one of these. Because it used to be in one, I forget which one, but you bought from all four. Right? So it has to be somewhere. You have to let me get in. So Adnan says that's a good claim. Okay, you're not sure which one it is. So Hamas Mechavel Avarayo, take the shortest path in. I don't want you tramping over my yard. Take the shortest path in. That's what Adnan says. The Chachamim say, listen, guy, Ishaskis, if you're quiet, okay. Vila, if you're not quiet, Najran the Shtar Amarayu, I'll just give the Shtaras back to the original owners. And there'll now be four people sitting around the land again. Lamasis Lashtriya Dina Bahadayu, and you won't be able to take them to din, because each one will say, it wasn't my land, it was his, it wasn't mine, it was his, it wasn't mine, it was his. That's the Machlokes. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Chachamim. That Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat says, if there were four sellers, one person bought from four other people around it, the guy in the middle has no right to get in. So the Nesivus HaMishpat, this is the famous Nesivus, maybe you remember from Yeshiva days. The Nesivus HaMishpat is the Kasha. He says, how is this possible that I lost my rights to my land? Like, I used to own some property over here. So because this guy makes some threat, well, if you're quiet, you're not, otherwise I'm going to just give it back. But I own property here, and Mimanoshach, one of these lands that you bought, contain my path. How does that person have the right? How does that person have the right to take away the path that I own? I own land over here. What right does he have to cost me that land that I own? That I owned. But that's the Nesivus is Kasha. Right? It's property. I own property. And even if we say, well, he stole it and he took it from someone that stole it, but I own property over here. So the Nesivus has an answer. This is what I have printed out over here. He says, we're not talking over here where you owned actual property. You didn't own actual property. If you own actual property, you don't lose that. What you owned was rights. You only own rights to the land. As the land belonged to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. And you had bought the rights from Reuven to use his land to walk through. What's it called? Easement? Okay.
Right away?
Right away? I don't know. You had purchased that right. Now, what is that right worth? As I now own something. I own the field in the middle. And I own the right to walk through the person's land. What's that worth? What's my rights worth?
The next door for him to get through to his house. What value is it to anyone else?
Right. Now, even though it means someone else could walk to my house, but that's for me. That's not for the other guy. I mean, the other guy would just say, look, you bought your house in the middle of a dumb place. It's not even a house. It's a field. Right? It's not like, you know, I won't get company. It's a field. It's a cornfield. So I need to get to my cornfield to work on my land. No one else needs to do that. So the Nesivus says, it seems from this Gemara, the Davar She'ein Shavu Ba'asim L'Machro, something that has no value, so in resale value, V'Likach Gamei Ba'Doda, and that you'll get any money for it, Raksha Shavu La'Ishahu, it's just worth something to that person. Ein HaMazik Chayv L'Sham, if someone damages it, he's not chayv to pay for it. Right, then Ziva says, if I don't have any resale value for it, I don't have any resale value, it's not worth anything to me. So then, it's worth something to me, but it's not worth something to anyone else. So if someone damages it, like this seller over here who sold it to one other person, it has no value, that if someone damages it, they'll be chayiv. That's what he says. And the different achronim infer from this also, so the case of the glasses. Right, the glasses are worth something to me, but it's not worth something to anyone else. I can't sell it for anything. It's in a shav of asa l'macha. I can't sell it for anything. I won't get any money for it. So if someone damages, he's not chayiv. The same thing, if it's something that's used, a used suit, what's a used suit worth? Not too much. If you don't get anything for it, it's only worth something to me, because at least it fits me and I can wear it. I couldn't sell it, someone's going to be my exact size, and you know, and the exact worn outness I like, you know, how much can I sell it for? Probably not too much. And someone is mazik. Of course, it doesn't mean that it's mutter to damage. They're like, we always have to be careful here. Like, we're not saying that it's, you know, if you, someone just got his glasses, you can shoot holes in it and say there's no problem. We're just saying if someone does it, and if that we're talking accidentally, he drops him, he's not chayiv, because he can't sell it. That's what the Nesiva says. The Nesiva brings another proof to this. It's a Gemara in Ksuvas. It's from the second side. Ksuvas has a case where a Kohen had truma, and someone else stuck that truma down a non-Kohen's mouth, someone who wasn't allowed to eat truma, and that person swallowed it. So he didn't make any kinyan. He didn't pick it up after the guy who swallowed it. He just swallowed it. So the Gemara says over there, Tosa says, so Gemara says he's pater, and Tosa explains why he's pater, because what did this guy do? The other person put it in his mouth, and at that time he could have just taken it out. The person who has it in his mouth just swallowed it. What did he swallow? He swallowed food which had been stuck in his mouth. What is food stuck in his mouth worth? Not too much, right? You can't sell chewed up cookie. I say it was a shuma cookie. Right, it's in his mouth, and so until he swallows it, he's not chayiv. When he swallows it, it's not worth anything. That's what Tosfos says. So then Tosfos brings a proof from here. You see from here that something that has no value and it's worth something to the one that's eating it, he's going to get pleasure from it. He feels like he ate this cookie. He's going to feel good after it. So you see from this that something that's worth only thing to one person, not to anyone else, and has no retail value, there's no din of hezek on it. Now the Erev Shai, he starts on the first Amud, he says, it seems to me very strange. Zar who has his lashon, it's strange to me that just because I can't sell something, that means it has no value. I just spent $100 on them, they're brand new. I just spent money on them, because I can't resell them, it doesn't have any value. When the person breaks them, it's not chayiv. What's have to do with being able to resell it? Right? So what's he do with so he disagrees with the Nesivas. And what's he do with the Gemara and Ksuvas? This is something I think we could think of. But let's think about this clearly. When we use the eyeglasses case, the Nesivas wanted to say that if I have eyeglasses that I can't sell to anyone and someone damaged them, since I can't sell it to anyone, that person is pater because they have no resale value. And he proved that from the case in Ksuvas, where the person who swallowed the truma cookie, since that cookie had no resale value when it was in the person's mouth, right? It's no resale value. So he doesn't have to pay the Kohen anything for that damage to his cookie. Good analogy. This is what the Erech Shai says, and the Stipler and Rosh Shlomo Zalman, they all say the same argument against the Nesivas. They say there's a big difference in these two cases. The case that we're talking about is where something is worth money to the person who was damaged, but to everyone else in the world, it's not worth anything. Right? That's what we want to prove. The case of in Ksumas was the thing wasn't worth any money to the person that it was damaged either. The Kohen's not going to eat that chewed up cookie either now. So in that case, the only one it was worth money to was the damager, to the mazik. To him it was worth something because he's getting the pleasure from it. So in that case, I could say, well, something that only I have pleasure from and I'm damaging and no one has, it's worth nothing to anyone, including the person, including the owner. So in that case, I'll say you're a prostitute. But in a case where to the the person damaged, the victim, his glasses are worth something to him. So in that case, his glasses have retail value. I can't resell them. They don't have resale value, but they have retail value. Everyone knows that new glasses cost $100. So in that case, the Erech Shai and the Stipler want to say that, not like the Nesivos, they want to say that the person will be chayiv. And they bring a proof from a Rashi in Gittin. It's also on the second side. The Mishnah in Gittin says, where there's a halacha that if a Kohen shechts does one of the avodas with a carbon, and he's thinking at that time that he's going to do one of the avodas improperly, he's going to do them too late. He's going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, he's going to eat the carbon after he can't be eaten anywhere, it's called pigul. And the carbon becomes pasul. Now suppose a Kohen went, I brought a carbon to the base of Mikdash, and the Kohen went and messed up my carbon by making it pigul. So the Mishnah says they're chayev to replace my carbon. I brought the carbon, and he messed it up. Right? He messed it up only if he did it on purpose. So Rashi says he's chayev l'shal in dimei l'bali. He has to pay the money to the owners because the owners are going to have to bring another carbon. And then Rashi goes further. There's two types of carbonus. There's a carbon neder and there's a carbon adava. A neder is a carbon where I say I am going to bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash. And if I start bringing one to the base of Mikdash and it gets damaged, I have to bring another one because I didn't bring it yet, right? A nedava is I'm saying, this cow I'm taking to the base of Mikdash. That's called nedava. And the halacha there is if that cow dies on the way, I'm not chayiv anything because it died. What should I do? So Rashi says, even if this cow is a nedava that I took to the base of Mikdash and the Kohen went over there and he made a puzzle when he made the carbon on purpose, he's chayiv. Why? Because I wanted to bring a present to the Beis HaMikdash. I wanted to bring a present. I'm not chayiv anything. It doesn't have any value to anyone else. It has value to me, but I wanted to bring that carbon. And this Kohen messed it up, so he's chayiv to pay for it. So that's a riot. The Kiyos Yaakov brings a proof from this Rashi that we don't care that I couldn't sell it for anything. It's not worth, I don't have any monetary obligations from this loss. But the fact that I wanted it, it cost me $1,000, this cow. I want this cow, and you have to replace it. There's a similar shaila on Sukkot. Someone just spent $1,000 on a beautiful asteroid. And a guy said, that's a beautiful asteroid. He took a bite out of it. Right. The Mishnah Melech has a shaila. He took a bite out of the asteroid. Okay, he says, you made my asteroid possible. So he said, okay, I'll get you another asteroid. Here's an asteroid. It costs $29. It was the bottom of the line. So look, what do you want? You'll be Yossi, and you'll see with this also. What's the problem? What do you want the asterisk for? Because you want to do the mitzvah. You want to do the mitzvah of asterisk. Here's an asterisk. Who says you have to spend $1,000 for the asterisk? Right. So that's what the Mishnah Melech says there. That over there, there it's a little bit easier here because there it did have, well, I don't know, $1,000. You pay, huh?
Had resale value.
Right, had resale value. Now suppose suppose it's the last day of Sukkot when he did it. What's it worth then? Well, the Mishnah Melech, I think, would say, at least according to Shlomo Zalman, that he'd have to still pay $1,000. Right? Because what? Even because he's disagreeing with the Nesivos. Well, we'll see. Shlomo Zalman's not disagreeing with the Nesivos. He's redefining the Nesivos. But that's another case, right? The last day of Sukkot, you can't sell an Esok for too much, or like matzah is the last day of, you know, Shmur matzah is the last day of Pesach, we're already selling 50 cents a box. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says really everyone's misunderstanding the Nesivos. They think the Nesivos is saying that something's value is defined by the resale value. He says the Nesivos didn't mean that. The Nesivos was talking about one particular place where you had no monetary value. You didn't have any property. You didn't own it. All you owned was rights. when we're talking about rights, then we could say if those rights can't be sold, so they're not worth anything. But the Nesivos says that the Shlomo Zalman, this is a new sefer, Mincha Shlomo, the third chelek, has a future of some Choshen Mishpat on it. He says that if it's printed out here. He says if it's something that you own, if it's something that you really own, it's a real item that you have real ownership over, even though you can't sell it to anyone. He says the pasuk says Makei Nefesh Beima Yishalmenu. If you damage someone's animal, Yishalmenu. What's the word, Hebrew word Yishalmenu mean? It means pay. But he says it means Lahashlam. You have to Lahashlam means to replace it. Right? You have to replace what you damaged. That's what the Torah obligates you to replace what you damaged. So if Shlomo Zalman says, then the Sefer will agree that my eyeglasses are worth something to me and I just bought them, you have to pay replacement value. Even though I couldn't sell it for anyone else, but it's something that everyone knows that you buy eyeglasses, this is what you pay for. So I can't sell my personal ones, but that's not a criteria on value. The Nesivas did not mean to say that if you can't sell it, it's not worth anything. That's what Shlomo Zalman explains him. He just means in that case where it was just rights, you had rights to something there, if you can't sell them, they're not worth anything. But it's something that has real value, something that you have real ownership over, so then we can go by the real value. If it's a used car, so then we will talk about something. Give me a car that has this value, like you were saying in the beginning, even though it doesn't have any book value. But right now my car drives, I want a car that will be replace it. Yeah, he holds like him also. He's passing like us. Yeah, he's passing like the Nesivus in that case of the rights to go through the field. The others, the Erech Shai, the Stipe, seem to disagree with the Nesivus. The Shlomo Zalman seems to be saying they misunderstood the Nesivus. The Nesivus didn't mean to go so far, and if it's something that has real value, there even the Nesivus would agree you have to replace it. You have to pay replacing value. Now, I would think that if it's something that's really used, a used suit, so I don't know. You don't have to replace a new suit. You don't have to give him a new suit to replace him. You have to find some replacement suit somewhere. And I think I'm not sure, but it could be even Rosh Shlomo Zalman and the others. Well, at least Rosh Shlomo Zalman would agree. You can pay him the thrift store price for it. That's what this suit is worth now. Now, Rav Spitz, and this is where we started from with his case with the eyeglasses. He has a different formula for figuring out the value. He says, and I haven't seen anyone else say this, but he says, suppose you buy a car that you were planning on letting it run for 10 years. Your car's last for 10 years, and you spent $10,000 for it. So he says, if it's 4 years old when it got damaged, so it's worth $6,000 still, because it has six years left, and you were figuring on $1,000 a year. If it's 8 years old, so you have $2,000. So he says you depreciate it and split it up accordingly. Like, I'm not sure if Shlomo Zalman would go that far. Shlomo Zalman is just saying that you have to give replacement value, and if there is a replacement value, which is more, I think it's just arbitrary to say that something goes down in value exactly that percent every year. Like, I don't think in real value it's like that. I think as soon as you take it out of the shop, it's lost 20% of the value, and
straight line depreciation.
Right. Right, that's what he's saying. So I'm not sure if that's reflecting real value, but that's what Rosh Spitz holds. He says that's what the minigin Batei Dinim is, in fact, in Eretz Yisrael at least. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying you have to replace it, replacement value. So when it comes to the Esrog, he says clearly, he brings this Mishnah Lamelech, and he says the Esrog, even if it's the last day of Sukkot, that has no resale value at this point, no one wants the Esrog anymore, but you want it for your mitzvah, and the guy went and took a bite out of it, he has to pay you $1,000 or give you an esrog of equal value. That's the way things go. Something that just has sentimental value, and this is a shayla that the Marash Dan that the Divrei Gaonim asked. This is Chidushei Torah. Right? I am a Chidushei Torah, and they're worth a ton to me. But to you, they're not worth so much. Right? You're my Chidushei Torah, you know, that I wrote up. How much is it worth to you? Right? But to me, it's my Chidushei Torah. So he says that since it's not worth much to the rest of the world, you pay what it'd be worth to the rest of the world. You know, so whatever my handwritten notes will be worth to the world, that's the going rate. The fact that to me it was chashiv, I spent a lot of time working on it, and it's important to me, so that's, I think, like the diploma or the picture of your grandparents' chasana or the smicha, handwritten smicha, which has great sentimental value, but has no retail value, no resale value. It's just something that's personal to me. It's a big avla for someone to mess it up, but damages are zero in those cases because it has no value. Okay, so just wrapping up, it seems it's a machlokus. I mean, it's a machlokus. So the eyeglass is, according to Nesiva, is possibly you'd be pater, right? According to, at least that's what the Erech Shai and the Stipler hold, except they disagree with him. But Shlomo Zalman says that Nesiva would agree that the eyeglasses do have, we don't go by resale value, but you go by replacement value, retail value, and they have that value. When it gets to something that only has sentimental value, that for sure, a person's not chayav because he doesn't have that. It has no value for anyone. The in-between cases, the used car, the used clothing, the esrog, that we haven't been conclusive about. I mean, it seems according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, one would be chayav in the full replacement value, at least by the case of the esrog, he says that. And Rosh Spitz is saying that you depreciate it, and what was the cost? Straight depreciation? Straight line depreciation, and you pay like that. I mean, those are the two psukim that we've seen.